Shalom, and welcome to Torah Bites. This is Alan Gilman with Torah Bites for the week of May the 30th, 2026, the 14th of Sivan, 5786. The following is an updated version of a message originally posted the week of June the 3rd, 2023, the 14th of Sivan, 5783. And it's entitled, Returning the Blessing. And I'm reading from B'Midbar, Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. It was 3 years ago, at the beginning of a special global initiative to pray for Israel. My wife and I, both Messianic Jews, were in a small prayer group. The others weren't Jewish. We were praying for Israel. We have rarely been in the presence of such precious prayers. One of the people had it on his heart to pray the priestly blessing from B'Midbar Numbers chapter 6, which I just read, over the Jewish people worldwide. You may or may not be aware how common it is for Christian leaders to recite this blessing, usually at the end of a service over their congregations. The words are wonderful. The sentiment is great. It's certainly a blessing. You might remember the musical rendition of these ancient words released around the beginning of COVID. It warmed my heart to hear God's word through Moses sung over and over again in a multitude of languages by the peoples of the world amidst the fear that had gripped so many. Let me unpack why I was so touched by this blessing being prayed over our people that Sunday evening. First, in my experience, most people who call themselves Christians see themselves as the new or true Israel. Whatever their personal feelings toward Jewish people might be, there's a tendency to view us as having been God's chosen people at one time, but with the coming of the Messiah, that identity was transferred to the community of Yeshua followers, the church in other words. That idea is technically termed supersessionism, or more popularly, replacement theology. Yet even among those who claim to reject such an idea and accept God's ongoing faithfulness to the Jewish people, there is still a tendency to directly apply elements of scripture that are particularly given to the people of Israel to themselves. In many cases, this is legitimate, at least to some extent. Let me explain. Through the Jewish Messiah, the peoples of the nations are offered the opportunity to have a personal relationship with the one true God, the God of Israel. While there are ongoing distinctives between Jews and Gentiles, the way that non-Jews learn the truth of God in life is via sacred writings that are fundamentally Jewish. All people, Jews and Gentiles, learn about trusting God through Abraham's willingness to follow God into the unknown. We learn to pray by reading David's Psalms. We understand God's faithfulness through his commitment to the people of Israel, and on it goes. While it is, as I said, legitimate for non-Jews to apply scriptural truth to themselves, it's tragic that it's often done without ever acknowledging its original context or how it has come about that Jewish scripture can become God's word for all, or the Jewish Messiah can be anyone's Messiah. The result is the replacement theology I referred to, which regards the church as the new or true Israel, even among those who deny such a concept. With all this in mind, let's return to the prayer group I mentioned. Against the backdrop of layers and layers of historic misrepresentation of and arrogance toward Jewish people, a most meaningful and powerful blessing which the church has appropriated for 2,000 years was being returned to its rightful place as this precious man prayed for God's favor to once more be poured out upon Israel. You might think, so what? What difference does such a sentiment make? It's because this gesture functions as a symbol of what I believe is the general change of direction that must occur among our non-Jewish fellow Messiah followers. One day, we might finally reckon with the untold damage the church has done both to the Jewish people and to itself for not heeding Paul's words from Romans chapter 11, verse 18, Do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it's not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. It is time for the church worldwide to recognize not only the primacy of Israel and God's plans and purposes, but also his ongoing faithfulness to the Jewish people, regardless of our spiritual condition throughout history until now. Great blessings have come to the Gentiles through not only the Jewish Messiah, but also through the early Jewish believers who broke through incredible barriers to bring God's blessings to the nations. God's heart of love and concern for the Jewish people has never changed. Therefore, let those among the nations who have been richly blessed by the God of Israel in the name of the Jewish Messiah rise up and declare to the people of Israel, "The Lord bless you and keep you." For more messages like this, visit the Torah Bytes website at www.torahbytes.org. Email your comments and questions to comments@torahbytes.org. And you can follow us on X at Torah Bytes. Until next time, this is Alan Gilman with Torah Bytes. Lehitra'ot.